Glory, 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 glory. We are continuing our series on judging our thoughts. Amen? Judging our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. Amen. Glory be to God. As you well know, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. That's our foundation text. Hebrews 4 and 12. Thank you, Father. Hebrews chapter 4 and the 12th verse. Amen. For the word of God is living. It is alive. As he just prayed about this powerful living word of God. Just prayed about that we will receive this powerful word of God. That it will penetrate. Did she prayed the whole Ephesians 4, Hebrews 4, 12. The Holy Spirit did through her. It is alive. It is active and in operation.
Yes.
And it pierces. What she prayed? Penetrating. As far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow.
Yes.
Joints and marrow. Soul and spirit. Those are the deepest parts of who we are. Both immortal and immortal. And able to judge, expose, sift and analyze. Determine what is good and bad. All of our thoughts. That which we ponder and think about. That which we reflect upon. We're talking about the hidden thoughts of the heart, which only God can discern.
Amen.
It can even sift and analyze even that.
Yes.
Not only that, but the intention, the conception, that which we conceive of our heart. That's a powerful word. Amen?
Amen.
That's a powerful word. All right. So we began talking about how to do this, how this can happen. We talked about that the word of God reveals our true nature, the true nature of our thoughts, of our intentions, of our motivation, and of our desires. The true nature. Remember, the true nature is who we really are. And we ask the question, well, then who are we? Who are we really? Who are we? Why do we do what we do? What is it about us? And our personalities that cause us to go for some things and not others and be passionate about some things and not others. We talked about personality. We'll quickly go through this since we basically got the definitions from last time. It is a combination of characteristics or qualities that form an individual's distinctive character. It is a sum total of the physical, mental, emotional, and social characteristics of an individual. It is the organized pattern of behavioral characteristics of an individual. Personality has to do with individual differences among people in behavior patterns, cognition, which is reasoning and understanding, and emotion. We're all individuals. We all have different personality types. Me, just for the sake of numbering and lettering, we name them A1 through I9, A1, B2, and so forth. Then we talked about why we're doing this. What is the aim, the goal, the objective, the reason, the purpose in locating our personality type? Why? Well, it may help us to understand why we impulsively go a particular direction in our imagination. Why our hearts burn for one thing over another. Why we are exceptionally driven in certain areas and not in others. To expose areas where we are blind to certain patterns and motivations, even to certain virtues. I mean blind. I have no idea. I don't know about you, just that alone, I want to know. What is it I'm blind to? What are the bad things I have no idea about, even the good things that I don't see?
Yeah.
Then at this point, last time, we introduced something called self-knowledge, right? Self-knowledge, remember that from last week. Simply put, is knowledge of oneself or understanding one's own motivations and character or motives or character. Understanding one's motive, own's motive or character. Understanding one's own motives or character. You understanding your motives and your character. Me understanding mine. Us understanding ours. However, right behind that, we gave a word of caution. It's just not enough to just know your personality type. It's not just enough. But we want to go beyond that. What is that? Knowing our personality type and apply this self-knowledge toward spiritual growth. That's the key. Spiritual maturity. That's the key. You want to go beyond just, okay, I'm a C3. Whoop-de-doo. You've located it. Now what are we going to do with that information? Why are we trying to get that information? Because we want to grow spiritually. And I was telling Sister Orlando last week, we're going to bring all this back to the Word. We're going to bring it back to Hebrews 4:12, because that is the Word is going to still be the one that's going to fix us. For example, we'll get there. Let's stay here. Why are we trying to find this out for ultimately spiritual growth? We said it last week. We want to use this information. What information? Knowing our personality type. We want to take that information and use it for transformation. You can transformation is a synonym of spiritual growth. Let that marinate for a moment. We want to take this information, what information, knowing our personality type, and use it for transformation. Spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. How do we do this? How do we take that information and use it for transformation? How do we do this? Two things. Number one, if you're taking notes, we need to see self-knowledge as a part of sanctification. Remember, sanctification is righteous living, becoming more and more like Christ, becoming more and more like Christ. That process is called sanctification, where we sin less and less and are more righteous more and more, or holy more and more. We sin less and less, decreasing frequency of sin and increasing frequency of the holiness of God in our lives. So we need to see this self-knowledge information as a part of the sanctification process. Does that make sense? We're to see it as, okay, I'm deficient there and there, I see that. Now I want to fix that. That's where the Word comes in. Because no matter what personality type you are, every personality type has both its attributes, I'm drawing a blank here. Your advantages, I guess, and then it has a disadvantage, but I want to use the word stronger than that. But it has this, there's a good side and there's a bad side. What's the opposite of deficits?
Attributes,
okay. So it has things that are, and then the deficits. The deficits is where we want the Word to work on. And even the positive, right, those attributes that are positive, we want the Word to hone that if it needs to be. But it's all going to go back to Hebrews 4:12, because it's the Word that's going to do it. Amen? Okay, so one, we need to see this information, which is knowledge of our personality type, as sanctification, and two, we need to understand that identifying our personality type, we need to see that as a diagnosis, not a treatment. A diagnosis is just simply letting us know, okay, here's what the problem is. Don't look at that as a treatment. The Word of God is the treatment. Does that make sense?
Amen.
I want you to hear that now. When your problems are identified within your personality type, don't they, okay, well then that's the treatment. No, that's just a diagnosis. We just telling you what's wrong. So this information needs to be seen two ways. It needs to be seen as part of the sanctification process, and two, it needs to be seen as a diagnosis, letting us what's wrong, not the treatment, not the cure. The Word of God is that. Amen? Make sense, y'all, so far? Okay, so now let's take a look at the first step, which is to see self-knowledge as a part of sanctification. All right? Now, at this point, I'm going to say this. I believe that part of maturing as a Christian slash believer slash follower of Christ, where you want, child of God, maturing as that is maturing in our knowledge of ourselves. As we see ourselves more, then we can recognize that's what's wrong. Father God, help me fix that. The blind spots cause us not to grow as much as we can, not to be all that we can be for His glory. You follow me? Well, this is to expose those blind spots. So part of maturing, part of the maturation process as a Christian is to mature in the knowledge of who you really are. And I'm telling you, over the last 20 years of me being a pastor, I have come to know myself more than I have at any other point in my life. And it has been a tremendously a blessing because I now know why I do what I do. I know everything. I definitely have a long way to go from nowhere near perfection. I'm not saying that at all. But I understand myself more. And then because I understand myself more, I can head off things. Say, okay, remember that pushes your button. And this is why it pushes your button. As he's clearing up this wide, and that no longer is a button to be pushed. Does that make sense? Think about that. When he clears up the why, this button is being pushed. When that why is cleared up, he heals that. There's no button to push anymore. That's why this is so powerful. We need healing in areas that we have no idea that we need healing. We have no idea. You know what I want to warn and caution you, because this can easily slip into an Ayanna Fix My Life, an Oprah, you know what I'm saying, Dr. Phil. This can easily slip into that. But notice I keep telling you, the word is a treat, the word is a cure, the word is going to expose, the word is going to do this. Remember, you're seeing this, your identification of your personality type as simply a diagnosis, because personalities do exist. Is that? That's a fact, right? That's no craziness. That's true. Fact. Personalities exist. Is it not a fact that we all don't have the same personalities? Amen. That's a fact. Is it then a fact that because we don't have the same personalities, that various personalities exist? Different kinds, different types. Those are facts, right? So we want to keep this in this level. Now, who gave us personalities? God did. Where did personality types come from? God. See this identification of the various personality types as man discovering what was already in existence. Because the personality types were already there. Man just discovered it, put a name to it, and kind of put explanation behind it. It's like man didn't discover the sun, man didn't create the sun, but he discovered it, found that it was wrong as God gave them knowledge of the sun. They were able to write on that and so forth. Same thing with personality types. I want you to keep it in that vein. This is not psychology per se. This is simply identifying what God has already created and placed in each and every individual. Does that help us, Word of Life?
Amen.
It's not Dr. Phil, not Ayala, not Oprah. It's still the Word of God. Personality types exist. God made them exist. Man is just simply putting a name to them.
Yeah.
You got to keep it there, Word of Life. Keep it there. Keep that thinking there. Does that make sense? Are you tracking with me?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's important. So, we just said, first step we're going to talk about, which is seeing knowledge as a part of the sanctification process. Slow down, Greg. And I believe that part of the maturation process, spiritually speaking, is maturing in knowledge of yourself. Mm-hmm. And that is as provided through God Almighty. Okay? So, if you want, you can write this down. Knowledge of self begins with self-examination. Now, it sounds like I'm kind of talking in double talk, but hear what I'm saying. Knowledge of self, who you are, knowing who you are, your character, your motives, and so forth, begins with you examining yourself. So I'm not saying the same thing, all right? Gaining knowledge of yourself begins with you examining yourself so that you can begin to know yourself. Does that make sense? As you examine yourself carefully and closely, you'll begin to know yourself as the Lord God Almighty teams up with you, so to say, to examine yourself. So, self-knowledge or knowledge of self begins with self-examination. Now, we're going to go through scripture to talk about that. First of all, what? Examining yourself. Mm-hmm. Look at Lamentations. I know you got to look in your concordance for that one. I mean, your index. But Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Lamentations. L-A-M. Yeah. Lamentations. Yeah. Lamentations. Yeah, Lamentations. Yeah. It's going to be in a smaller, yeah, it's going to be after this. Yeah, there it is. Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse 40. That's a nice Bible there. You got Miss Palmer? Is that new? Okay. Real nice. Cool. Thank you. I love word life on top of one another. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Yeah, that's going to be closer to Malachi near the back of the book, Miss Denise, the back of the Old Testament. Okay. It's going to be with the smaller prophets of Malachi, Obadiah, Haggai, Micah, Joel. Those are the big ones, Ezekiel, Isaiah. But it's going to be after.
It's next to
Ezekiel. Oh, right next to Ezekiel. Okay, yeah. So right after what they call the major prophets. Those are what are called minor. Ain't nothing minor, but just for lack of a better term, as far as that length. Yeah, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. Glory be to God. I want everybody to look at it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And understanding oneself begins with self-examination. Self-examination should be something you do all day, every day. Miss mm-hmm. Denise, you got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Verse 40, Lamentations 3. Let us examine and probe our ways. I think King James says search. Yeah. Get all up in there. Walk all around up in there. Let us examine and probe our ways. What is our ways? Our whole bent of life. How we act. Our behavior. Our conduct. Our thoughts. How we think. Our motivations. Our intentions. Our actions. Our speech. The whole of life is to be examined and probed and searched through. That should be done every single day. To be honest with you, I believe it's true that knowledge of self begins with self-examination, is it safe to say then that a lack of self-examination leads to a lack of understanding oneself? I think that's true. If knowledge of self begins with self-examination, then a lack of self-examination then will lead to a lack of knowing oneself. Because sin has already knocked out us under. We struggle already because of sin. But we have help. The Holy Ghost is a great equalizer. We're born again. We're saved. Our spirits have been raised from the dead. Glory be to God. Raised to walk in newness of life. Called to walk in good works. So we have help. As Christians, we ought to carefully examine and probe our ways. Just think, we don't understand us. You know nobody else doesn't. If you live with you all the time, mm-hmm. You know nobody else does. And you can't communicate to others about yourself because you don't know yourself. Yeah. And you're blind in a lot of areas and a lot of spots. It's no wonder that a lot of folks, Christians, are messed up. Sin has caused us to be greatly damaged. Damaged. Why? Because of your past. Parents didn't parent. Your uncles, as Oprah said in the movie Color Purple, had to fight my uncles and my brothers and, always, just sin everywhere. We've been damaged. And there are areas within the caverns, the deep, dark caverns of our lives that have been untouched. Just haven't probed down in there. Or allow the Spirit of God to get down in there and heal. And so we must examine ourselves and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 59. Psalm 119. And look at verse 59. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, I considered my ways. You see that? Mm-hmm. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I considered, I think King James says, I thought on. It means to think, to regard, to value, to make account of. It means to think upon, to be mindful of. This is not just some casual glance, but he deeply thought about and pondered and thought about his ways. Do we think about our ways like that? Deeply ponder and consider and regard and calculate and compute. Like, why am I acting this way? Why am I thinking like this? What is going on with me? Like, how often do we do that? And if we do that every once in a while, we need to do that more and more and more. I want to keep moving, but we may have some at the end, okay? So how often do we do that? Sometimes do it after a great big thing. What about all the time? Because the Holy Spirit is always with us, coaching, telling us, hey, you shouldn't have did that, shouldn't have did that. And I really like us to think, wow, if the Holy Spirit keeps telling me, stop doing that, stop doing that, and I'm still doing that and I'm doing that, now I need to figure out what's going on. Why am I just steadily doing this? Why am I in this cycle again and again and again? Over and over and over. Like the song, Lord, Make Me Over. He said, I'm tired of evil ways doing the same thing at the same time, and I'm ready for change, Lord. Are we ready for change? Yes, but see, what this is going to do in Jesus' name, when a personality type, once it's identified, it'll probe into the root of why you are having this behavior. Exposing this. I remember thinking, why does this bother me? I forgot what it was. You know, somebody cutting in front of me, in front of the freeway with number 2 inches between me and the other car, they cut in front, or maybe somebody talking some type of way to me. You know, like, why does that make me feel disrespected? And, I mean, you still know who you are in Christ Jesus, but why does that, and I think about maybe part of it being a little bit bullied in school a little bit, or kind of overlooked, lacking self-esteem, made fun of, name called, and all that kind of stuff. I think some of that still kind of creeps up from my childhood in elementary and junior high school. But the Lord is wonderful. He identifies that. spoke to you about that, man. That's gone. I didn't hear you that. You my child. You know what I'm saying? The next thing when that come up, like, well, that ain't no big deal. It doesn't alter who I am in Christ Jesus. Can you see just a small part of how that can get in there and healing can start in that area? We don't have to be a prisoner to our past.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. But we are. And don't understand that we are. Don't know why. I think some of us are even either denying, maybe not even on purpose, that my past got anything to do with who I am now. Man, that ain't nothing. That shouldn't bother me. That's not true. It most certainly bothers you. Being overlooked, being talked about, being laughed at. You know, you don't know at the time. You know, my dad is dead and, you know, you don't have confidence in areas and people make fun of you. And, you know, like I said, it was terrible because the mom believed was a girl. So I couldn't beat her up. You don't get no points for beating up a girl. Even if you made up your mind one morning and said, all right, man, next time I'm going to knock him out. I can't do that with the girl. So I just had to sit there and take it. But the thing about it is, it still was causing damage to me emotionally and mentally. Because when people sit around and laugh at you and talk about you and your clothes aren't their clothes and things of that nature, that has a damaging effect. Mm-hmm. And if you don't face it, then even though God saves you, you'll carry that over even into your saved life. Mm-hmm. You're a child of God, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, on the way to heaven and so glad. But there's these things still going on. You haven't faced.
Amen.
You gotta face them. That's what this is going to do. Force us to examine ourselves. Consider our ways. Look at your life with the power of the Holy Ghost. You can do that. I can do that. We can do that. Why? We got Holy Ghost. We have the Word of God. Now go back to Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and powerful and penetrating to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it is a discerner. Now can you see how that makes even more sense of your thoughts and intentions of our hearts? Glory be to God. We have a great equalizer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why you see it as a diagnosis and not a treatment. The Word of God is a treatment.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Oh, I feel like running. But we got to obey the Word. Examine. By the way, these aren't suggestions. These are commands. Examine yourself. Consider your ways. Look at your life. The sum total of all that you are. Think about it. Give an account of it. Glory be to God. Regard it. Be mindful of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at, let's go to the new. No. Let's go to Proverbs. No, we'll come back to that one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Boy, the time just flies so fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. But let a man do what?
Examine
himself. Let him examine himself. The word examine means to test, to scrutinize. The word examine carries with it the idea to recognize as genuine after examination. So after you closely scrutinize yourself, and then you can examine, after close scrutinize yourself through examination, then comes the idea that you are either approved, worthy of being approved, or not. Now this is talking before God, not before man. Because if our conduct, if our mindset, if our motives, our thoughts, our intentions after examination turn out to be unworthy because through self-examination, through testing, because they don't meet up with God's standard, what we need to do with those tests, the thoughts and so forth, get rid of that. Get rid of that motive, get rid of that intention. So we must examine them, New Testament speaking, which is to put through a rigorous test to see if your thoughts or your motives or your intentions or your actions are either approved in line with God's word or disapproved and deemed unworthy because they're not in line with God's word. Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's what examine yourself means. Now, here's talking about the Lord's Supper. But he says, let a man examine himself. And in so doing, what? Examining himself, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So if he examines himself and deems after close scrutinizing and examination, he finds that his life overall, not perfect, but is genuine, if you will, and approved, then he can go in and eat of the fruit and drink of the cup. Drink of the cup, rather, eat of the bread and drink of the cup. But concerning our lives in general, it is you are to examine motives, your intent, your actions, your words, all the time. Examine what? Through the scripture, through the word of God. And if you say, you know what, the Holy Ghost will tell you, no, that thought, now again, your actions can be good, but your motives don't line up. Holy Ghost say, don't do that. Why? Because that does not pass the test. The Holy Ghost has disapproved, not approved, but disapproved of your action or your thoughts. You know us, we try to make excuses. The Holy Ghost is telling us that's not right. But we try to, oh, that ain't so bad.
Yep.
Gotta be careful, that ain't so bad. That's a scary thing to be. But the Holy Ghost said, no, that's not right. In God's eye, remember, God's standard is a lot sharper and harder and higher than ours.
Amen.
And if he says that he does not approve of this, then guess what? It's not worthy to be approved of.
Right.
Don't force it and try to make it something to be approved of. No, it's not. And what gets us in trouble is we really, really, really want to do something. That's what gets us in trouble. We really want to do this. And it's hard for us to hear God. And hearing him say, no, I disapprove of this. You had genuine, close scrutiny and examination. You put it to the test, and after the test, it failed. It failed the test of what? Meeting up with God's standard, meeting up to the standard of the Word of God. Now, this was a jewels, I think it was, diamonds and things. They would test it to see if it were a genuine diamond. I think it was used in that context. But when you bring it out, it's the same concept. You examine it thoroughly, very closely with the Word of God, and then you see, no, those motives aren't right. At work life, here's the word. Don't let the outcome fool you. I mean, not the outcome. Don't let your end game, the goal, don't let the goal of what you want to do blind you from the motive or the intent. What I mean by that is, yeah, but this is a good thing. You know, these kids need some turkeys. Yeah, but if God is saying yes, but your motive, your intent is not right, it's failing the test right now, then you need to not give those turkeys out. And just trust God that somebody else will get something to those children. You follow what I'm saying? Don't let what you want to do, the end game, blind you from the intent and the motive, because that's what's working on the inside. Remember Jesus told the Pharisees, not that you didn't commit adultery externally, outwardly, that your heart is not right. If you just think about doing it in your heart, lusting after, you've already committed adultery in my standard, according to my standard, in my kingdom. Well, that's what it is for us. It's not about just the end game. It's the road to the end game. The motive, the intent. Why are you doing this? Why are you saying that? Why are you thinking that? Let a man, not just a male, mankind, the people of God, examine themselves. That makes sense? Yeah.